Lord, I brought this portion of scripture before, but it'll never probably be said then like it is now in 2021 after all we've been through and all that's going on earth. So help me, Jesus. Help me to speak your word the way you want it spoken. Help us to hear it now in Jesus' name. Would you look with me at Luke chapter 19? Luke chapter 19, and we'll start reading at verse 41, and I'm just going to read down to 44. Luke 19, 41 through 44. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace. But now, they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. And they will level you and your children within you to the ground, And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And that's what I want to call this message today. You can always see these messages on our website, landmark-christian.org. You can always see them. I'm going to call this message, "Don't Miss This Day of Visitation." And those words, of course, you see and know that they were from Jesus himself. He's the one that said this. In fact, this portion of scripture doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. But it's just so amazing to think that Adam and Eve had a window where they walked with God and they talked with him every evening, from about 4 in the afternoon until 6 in the evening. And if you read statistics, you'll see that most accidents, fender benders from serious accidents, suicides, people going to ER, happen from about 4 in the afternoon to 6 in the evening. Just ask, you'll find out. A lot of heart attacks happen at those hours. I wonder if it could be sometimes if it's because Adam and Eve gave that time up with God. They just gave it up. They missed their time of visitation with him. Man, they could have had everything. Think of Israel and the people of Israel. I mean, they had his fire, and they knew the fire was from him, the pillars of fire, and they knew the cloud was from him. They knew that. They had Moses, the leader. And they had warnings, and they had all kinds of signs and wonders that you and I have never, ever seen. Those awesome signs and wonders. But we love him, and we are faithful to him. And they ran out on him time after time, and they missed their visitation. We can go on and on. How about Noah building that ark? And the people had a season of time to get right. Or as Lanny Wolf wrote it one time, get right or get left. But they chose to get left because they missed their time of visitation. How about when Jesus was born? Oh, the shepherds and the wise men, a lot of people rejoiced. But a lot of people began to despise him and just hated that people were worshiping this baby child, and they couldn't even believe an angel in the sky. They missed their time of visitation. And after the New Testament came and Jesus walked and talked among men, and the disciples told them that the Word became flesh and walked among men, and yet they missed it too. They just did not want to believe. It was a crazy things, and we're like, oh my gosh, we just can't believe that they would do that. See, this is what it means when Isaiah said, my people perish from lack of knowledge. If we don't get this, if we don't learn from the pulpit, if we don't learn by the Holy Spirit, if we don't learn by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's work, then we will miss our opportunity of time just as they did. Jesus said, look at verse 41. It says he was walking toward Jerusalem. That was his place. It had his name all over it. Born in Bethlehem, and yet it says he wept over it. Why was he weeping? Not because he knew it wasn't anything he couldn't handle, but he was weeping because he knew they were going to deny him. He knew how much good he had to offer them in this day. He had grace. And he had mercy. And he said, you guys, we've all walked under the law. And Jesus walked under the law. And he said, I know how hard it was for you. And I knew the punishment of God. And I knew how you got punished if you broke one of the Ten Commandments. And yet as he was walking along, he looked as Jerusalem was, he was getting closer. And he started weeping. The Bible says he started crying. Because he knew they were going to miss those 3 years that are getting ready to come of total grace and mercy, which now you and I are under that grace too. We're under it too. And folks, we cannot afford to miss it. That's what I'm telling you about this morning. So the Bible says he wept over it. And look at verse 42. Please put it up. He was weeping and he said, they'd already missed it. If you had known, even you who? Israel, God's chosen people. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, this is your day. God sent me here for you guys. If you'd have known that this your day, the things that make for your peace or the things that belong to you, the things that belong to you that make peace. He said you could have such peace in your head and in your heart and in your mind if you had only known this, your day, the things that make for your peace. But look what he said. This is so sad. But now they were hidden from your eyes. I don't ever want to be in that case. And then he announces a prophecy to them. And he tells them, I'm telling you, the days are going to come when your enemies are going to surround you. They're going to build an embankment. They're going to surround you. And they're going to close you in on every side. I just saw that. Remember last week we were talking about the people of Israel running from Pharaoh. And when they got to the Red Sea, the Bible says, Moses said, oh God, you better deliver us because Pharaoh's going to say they are shut in on every side. See, they were, these people were, and we can too. And we know a whole lot of people in America that's there right now. Unless they grab a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I'm talking about this morning. Right now in America, folks, we are literally surrounded by the enemy. We're surrounded by stuff that we never dreamed that we would see in our lifetime, in our generation. But he said, they're going to close you in. And then Jesus goes a bit farther. He says, they're going to level you to the ground, you and your children. Say, Pastor, you shouldn't talk that way. I'm not. Jesus is. And he's talking to a group of people that rejected him and wanted no part and missed their visitation. Almost all of Jesus' generation, well, I won't say almost all, but many of them missed their time of visitation when God himself, through Jesus, he was walking with them, eating with them, sharing with them, preaching, and others baptized. He went to John to be baptized, and he had many great followers that loved him. Oh, they loved him and they walked with him and talked with him. But some of them had no idea who was walking with them. They had no idea that it was God Himself. Why? Because they were so full of their religion. We know what to do. We've been in this for years. Full of religion, old Pharisees and Sadducees. I've even heard people say, you can't show me one scripture in that Bible that I don't know. Well, so what? We've all read it through, but knowing it and having it in us is another thing. So Jesus said, if you'd only known, you wouldn't have to be in this place because I've offered peace that will pass your understanding. Look at verse 44. Jesus gives them the answer. He goes, this is a bad day. He said, this thing's going to level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Why, Jesus? Why? And he says, because. And then he gives them the answer, because. Look, read it with me. You did not know the time of your visitation. Read that last line with me. Why is that so big? Can we pull it down just a little smaller? Oh, okay. Because you did not know the time of your, that's why this is going to happen to you. And folks, you love God with all of your heart, and I do. And we are following after Him. And millions out there, you are following after Him. And you know Him. So I'm just prophesying. Somebody wrote to me this morning, and they were talking about, I get concerned about my grandchildren and my children. I'm not sure where they are. She said, I want to tell them about the rapture. And I said, yes, the rapture. But I said, if you can hear the message this morning, you need to talk to them about not missing their time of visitation. It's a really big deal, church, really big deal. These folks were so full. They were old wineskins. They were old wineskins. They were full of religion, and they hated Jesus. They did not believe He was the Messiah because He lived in their neighborhood. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? One writer asked. So it was very, very difficult for them to believe He was the Messiah. And we went to Israel, and I saw that with my own two eyes. There are a lot of Christian Jews in Israel, but they're still the old Orthodox. And I'm going to tell you what, they do not like us. And it's very confusing to be in the land of Jesus, the chosen of God, to be there and see how, and we spend our money there. We travel across the ocean to go, and they don't want us there. Now I'm talking about the Orthodox, the Pharisees that hated Jesus then, hated the Gospels, believed He was a liar. They're still there today, and they missed their visitation. And as I was working on this message and building it, I said, God, they're still doing that. They're still missing the visitation. The Messiah has come. And they're still looking for Him. We were in Old Jerusalem. It's an amazing place, just a very small place. You can walk all the way around Jerusalem in maybe an hour to Old Jerusalem. We walked through, and if you've ever been to the alley in L.A., there's the garment district, and then there's the alleys where you go through and buy the cheap purses and the knockoffs and all that. And that's what Old Jerusalem, the streets look like. It looks like the alley. It's just a small, beautiful brick road or cobblestone road to walk in. And there's merchants on each side begging for your money to buy their stuff. And as you walk there, you're still in awe of what's going on around you. And then up above, there's apartments. And up above, there will be schools going on. And you'll hear the little children laughing and playing and running. And you hear them yelling. And it's the sights and the sounds of the Bible that said Israel will bloom and there will be the sounds of children playing in the streets. And I said to Kathy and the girls with us, I said, listen to that. We're seeing the Bible come alive. We're listening. We're hearing their voices. We saw the blooming in the desert. It was just amazing. One of the girls in our tour had to go to the bathroom, and they call it the women's closet. So she says she walked up. We're in old Jerusalem town. She walked up to this little boy, and already he's about 10 or 12, and he's got the little curly cues down on his temples because they read what the Bible says in the Old Testament, don't cut the hair around your temples. And so he's got these little curly cues and his little white shirt on, little black pants, looking holy. Even got this little hat on. And she said to him, to the two little boys, excuse me, could you all tell me where the women's closet is? And they turned around and they looked at her, and her husband had just bought her a big, beautiful gold cross. Real gold. I mean, it's beautiful. He had just bought that for her, and she was so proud. We were so proud. None of the rest of us could afford something like that. But, oh, man, he paid a mint for it. It was beautiful. And they turned around and looked at her and said, evil woman, evil, evil, evil. And she's like, what? I said, you shouldn't have said that. Don't ask them what. They'll say it again. She said, I just want to know where the closet was. And they go, you're evil. She says, why? What? He said, that thing there, he wouldn't even call it a cross. That thing you're wearing is evil. You need to get it off now. Get out of here. And she turned around with tears in her eyes, even though it came from a little kid. Growing up because mom and daddy have missed their visitation. The baby will miss his visitation. You know what Jesus said? They're going to surround you. The enemies are coming. And you know what happened? They were surrounded by the enemy. Rome came in and leveled them to the ground. And that wasn't the last time. It was a bad deal. And now I see America. And we see so many people. It's still going on, church. And these people Jesus was talking to, here was the big deal. All of these guys were under the law. And now he came in the New Testament and put them under grace. You don't have to live under that hard discipline. You don't have to be stoned if you're caught in the act of adultery. But you can have grace and you can have forgiveness, and God will cleanse you and he will wash you. Just ask for forgiveness. But they missed it. And Jesus doesn't want us to miss it, church. Because, see, they came under grace, but we are under grace. From that time on, for 2,000 years. What a blessed people we are to walk under grace. Walking under grace. My sweet sister back there, she'll tell me, Pastor, I'm nothing but a heathen. I say, oh, you better stop. You're not a heathen. You're the blessed of the Lord. You're forgiven, you're cleansed, and you're washed. Let him take you where he wants to go. She's just so happy I didn't call her name. But we're under the age of grace. And yet people in our lifetime, in our generation, have cried out, get God out of our schools. They cried, we don't want you here. Get out. Reminds me of those little innocent boys, ignorant boys. Said, evil woman, get that thing out. They cry ignorantly. We don't want your God in our schools. We do not want him in government. We don't want him in our lives. And you be quiet. We don't want to even hear your gospel. Don't speak of your holiness around us. Don't speak of your conservative ways to us. Your children, some of you in here, your children don't want to hear it. Your grandchildren, as the lady said, I'm not sure. They're crying, God, get out of our lives. Get out of our nation. Church, I'm telling you, I believe we're in one of the greatest harvest times we've ever seen. But see, they're either going to be running in or running farther away. And I want us to be ready for those who run in. We went to have breakfast while we were there in Galilee. went down to the nice breakfast they had, and they in Israel they have all kinds of breads, all kinds of buns and subs and any kind of bread you can imagine, all different colors of bread. So me and the girls that were with me and my little group, well, we went to get our bread, and so we chose it, and this one little Jewish woman, she was so cute until she did what she did. And she just moseyed over. I was leaving my bread table, had my plate, and she just came where I was and put her hand in my plate and took that bread out of my plate. And I said, what'd you do that for? And she said, because that's our bread. That's not your bread. That's Shabbat bread. I said, well, I know it's Saturday. She said, you can't eat it. And I said, you said it was Shabbat, it's Saturday. She said, but it's not yours, it's ours. I mean, they wouldn't let you ride on their elevator either. They had a Shabbat elevator, and you stay off. Why? Because Jesus said they didn't know the time of their visitation. They're under grace, they're not under that stuff. Jesus said, your days and your feasts and all these things just turn my stomach. You're keeping them as an old wineskin. And then you would see rabbis walking around with their long coats on. Their long coats over their knees and a white shirt and their tie and their hat and their curlicues. And they would be walking along and they would have a cigarette in one hand and a Bible in the other. And then they'd have a wife walking behind him about five steps. And about 6 or 10 little children behind her, like this. Now we were talking the other night in the usher team. Will smoking or drinking or cussing, will that send you to hell? I don't know, but it'll sure ruin your testimony. Is somebody going to automatically say, oh, there's a woman of God, they see you smoking in the restaurant? They see you sitting there with a little drink. For you to go to sleep, you've got to drink what they drink. You'll go on the internet and watch what they watch. See what they see. Dab a little bit in porn. Uh-uh. Don't miss your day of visitation. There's some things that we just can't get past, church. I mean, those people are on their way to hell and they're missing their visitation and they don't even know it. How did they miss it? And how could we not be aware of what's going on around us and in us, because the Holy Spirit is in this building with us and he's at home with us and he's in our heart? How can we miss that? I want to look at Isaiah 5 and 20. I'm going to give you three things and we'll close. About 700 years before Jesus came. See, this was going on way back there, ever since Adam. About 700 years before Isaiah prophesied, and he said this to the people then. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Listen, how do we miss it? How is America going to miss it if they don't come to know this visitation and that God is here? Isaiah said, woe to those who call evil good. And what else? You know it. And good evil. Woe to them. And then he goes on to say, who put darkness for light and light for darkness? And then for those who put sweet, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Goes on to say, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Oh, they're good at that. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink that will mess with you, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. I said, take away justice from the righteous man. Does anyone in this house remember that couple? I forget their names in St. Louis. They were both attorneys, and they stepped out. They saw the mob coming. There was about 500 rioters. And they were coming, they were going to overtake their property. For some reason, they were moving in. They didn't like a judgment he made or whatever. They were going to come in and take over. And the man and the woman stood out. We saw the picture of them standing out there with their guns. She had a gun and he had a gun. Well, guess what? They must have been a part of the people that Isaiah was talking about. The ones that he said, what? Who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter? Who put darkness for light and light for darkness? So the authorities said, oh no, they didn't come down on the rioters. You would have thought, man, 911, the police would have been out there hauling them away. Oh no. No. They went after that man and woman. They went out there and confiscated their guns. And all they were wanting to do was protect the property. And they took their guns and they were looking at prosecution. I quit watching the news. I was just so perturbed over that. But it said people do this and they do that and they look for all of these kinds of things. And just to have an opportunity to do evil when they could do good. Jesus came in the New Testament. He's doing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And the bad boys called him Beelzebub, the leader of demons, the chief demon. How could they do that? They had already missed their time of visitation. Jesus said, you're just totally ignorant and you perish without knowledge. You want to go a bit farther? Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25 through 28. We're talking here about people who are now living under grace. He said, you're going to be overran by the enemy because your mind has not my peace in it. You could have had it. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. If you don't know where this is in this lifetime, in your generation, you need to have it. You need to know where this is. In case you go to work and you get a question on one of these things. And you will, and you probably already have. Romans 1:25. He's talking to some people who exchanged the truth of God, look, for the lie. Can you all hear me out there? Okay. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Are we living in that time right now? They changed the truth of marriage between one man and one woman. It can be two men or two women, whatever. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature, that's a person, rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That can either fall under pornography, nudity on the screen, somebody other than your spouse, but begin to worship that creature more than the creator. The creator who is blessed forever. And then the Bible says, for this reason, just like Jesus said, because, Paul uses the word for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, they burned in their lust one for another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. After a while, God says, you want to, you keep ignoring me, you want me out, you want me out. They had a space. There's a space. Even the harlot. In the book of Revelation, she has a space to repent. And if she doesn't repent, God said, I will take her down. I will just turn her over to it. Actually, you turn yourself to it. But you've got to take advantage of the space that we have, folks, during that time of visitation. He said, the reason these people are like this to a debased mind is what Jesus said, because you did not know the time of your visitation. You could have had all of those things that make to your peace. You could have had all of that. But these people were living in the age of grace, and they could have had peace in their mind instead of running after the creature. Oh, folks, this world is totally upside down. I saw a movie star and his wife the other day. They were on a news report, and they were saying, we heard that she did this, and he said, yeah, that we have an open marriage. We're all just as proud and boastful as could be. We have an open marriage. We hear of NFL players beating their wives and they remain the hero. All of these, as we call them, American idols. The movie stars do as they please. And people even invite them into their home and onto the internet to watch them do what they do. The Bible also says in Romans, if you run with them or you agree with them doing what they do, then you are just like them. I did not say that. The Word of God said that, and I'm telling you what the Word of God says. It's a big deal, church. Really a big deal. I wish I could have given you just a little loving message this morning on Valentine's Day. But we don't have much time right now. Jesus is coming soon. I'm telling you, it's harvest time. And we've got to be able to speak what we know. You have to have these things in your heart. While the Democrats today and the far left and the liberals are wanting to defund police, of all people, why would they want to cut them back and then let the prisoners out? Does that make sense to you folks? Do not let anyone talk like that to you. Defund police, let the prisoners out. Well, we're letting them out because of COVID. Well, I heard your brand new president say yesterday that he was wanting to do away with the death penalty. And he said, because there are drug addicts who have done things under the influence and they didn't know what they were doing. They don't need prison. They need rehabilitated. They want to cut these things off. Legalize drugs. He said, and then we will have to, if we eliminate the death penalty, then listen to this. Then we will retry those on death row. Remember Peterson? You know what he did? I won't stand in front of the kids out there in San Francisco. That means he'll just come right back up, get retried, and get off the hook. Because no one wants their people. They don't want the criminals locked up. They want the criminals loose. They want the churches closed. They want God out of the picture, but we want the criminals in the picture. I'm going to tell you, I heard the governor of Florida talking, and the governor said, they're wanting to open all the borders with no check for COVID. And yet they want to go to Florida and say nobody can travel from state to state. And if you fly on an airplane, you have to be checked for COVID. Well, you better check the people coming over from Mexico and all the other nations of the world. They need to be checked too. Church, I'll tell you, they have more compassion for the criminals than they do the unborn babies. Why? How could that be? Because they're missing their time of visitation. They don't know they can have all these things, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and their shoes with peace on them. They have more compassion for the criminals than they do a president who wanted to establish law and order. Oh, it's quiet in the house, but if I was sitting out there and my pastor said that, I'd go, woo-hoo! But I'm not sitting out there, I'm not. Not much compassion for him. Let us impeach the man who's already out of office. We've already impeached him. What? Let's do it again. And he got acquitted. Thank you, somebody. Come on, it's not the man. It's the things they stand for. Oh, no, let's let the transgender go into women's bathroom and the little girl's bathroom. Let's allow that. Are you kidding me? Ladies, do not go in those public bathrooms. I'm telling you, we love everybody. We love these people. I want them to be saved. But listen, you've got to understand, you've only got a space of time. And you cannot miss the visitation or you may be turned out to that. in a time where they censored the football player, Tim Tebow. Remember, he took a knee and they almost crucified him. He was just like an outcast. He took a knee just to pray before the game started. They crucified him. But then when the other guy knelt down to take a knee and got other teams, other guys to follow him, take a knee when the Star-Spangled Banner or the anthem was playing to honor America, they took a knee and everybody applauded. Yay, 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 you're standing up for evil. How would we miss it? To call good evil and evil good. To call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. That's what Isaiah said, and it's still there. And they embrace evil and darkness more than goodness and light. And we just saw this week that they embrace lawlessness more than the law. It's just not worth it to miss it, church. Where am I at? You know what? I think I'm going to say these other two things. Because maybe there's a little too much for you. You're getting a little quiet on me. You want one more? Let me give you one more thing. It's all according to the word, church. You know me. I don't get up here and give you my thoughts and ideas without going here. You guys could care less about my opinion. You got more to do than come here and listen to my opinion. If I don't back it up by the word, I'm not going to give it to you. These people despise God's warnings. I'm talking Old Testament. I'm talking here where Jesus was. How did they get in this mess? They despised his warnings. See, but what Israel found out, they despised the warnings of Moses. But if you despise those warnings, here's the problem with that. God always keeps his promises. He just does, and it's going to come to pass, Noah. It's going to come to pass, Moses. It's going to come to pass, Israel. It's going to come to pass, America. If you miss your visitation and don't understand that we're under grace and under mercy and we can live close to him, then we're going to be a mess if we reject that and run out and do our own thing. Don't reject his warnings. Sodom and Gomorrah found out the hard way. They rejected. They got warnings, warning, warning after warning. And after a while, here it came. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, you don't have to go there, but it says again, he designates a certain day. God has always designated a certain day, and when it comes up, there it is. It's just the way it is. Number three, they wanted the things of the world instead of the things of God. They went after everything the world had to offer. They still do that today. And if we yoke up with the world, church, you young people, kids, I'm always praying for these little ones when they go to school, that when they get a friend, they're going to get the right friend. Boy, it's very important that you choose the right friends at school. Always. Don't run with kids that don't live like your parents live or in the church. You can't do that. Always pray for them. They wanted the things of the world, but if you yoke up with the world, it's life-threatening. They'll tell people in the hospital, now, we've got to deal with that because that's life-threatening. Well, this is life-threatening. What I'm giving you this morning, if we miss a day of visitation, it's really life-threatening. So anytime you focus on the secular things, and you've just got pretty soon your mind is so there, you got more of that, more and more and more and more and more, and pretty soon you're getting a little closer to that unsaved friend than you are the church. You're a little bit closer over here. I'm telling you, it's really life-threatening. And the people of Israel missed their opportunity. And many in America today, and I close, are missing their opportunity with God. And here we are again, church. We're here. We're still in the church age. We're still in the age of grace and mercy. We are still there. And we cannot miss our day. It's your day, Jocelyn. It's my day. It's your day, Dee. It's our day. It's the church's day. And we have some great things coming. But we cannot choose evil. We must choose good, and that's easy for us. Most of the time it's easy. Sometimes it may not be easy, but we got to receive God's warnings and promises. Please, I pray everyone in here today will receive this warning that God is giving us, and that we choose the kingdom of God and not the world. because Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Put that up, Revelation 3:20. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He said, "My kingdom is at hand. I'm here." He just meant the kingdom is in reach. And yet people all over America and the world today are right here, so close to the kingdom of God with grace and mercy. And what are they doing? Reaching for the things of the world. And they could be living in another world. Did you know you and I live in another world? Lord, we are not of this world. We are of another world. And that's what makes you different. That's what makes us all different. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door." What door? Your door. The door of your heart and mind. "And I knock," Jesus said. "And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." I don't care where he's been, what he's done, who he is, who his mama was, what he did. "I will come into him and I'll dine with him and him with me." It just doesn't matter. He said, "I'm standing there and I'm knocking. Just let me come in and I'll be there. And I'll come in and I'll eat dinner with you. My things will be your things and my peace will be your peace." Stand on your feet with me today. Sweet Jesus. Church, let's pray his protection over it. Who did? Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Ladies, stick around a minute. I heard we all got a rose delivered to every woman that's here by our landscaper. So, ladies, don't go away. Isn't that sweet? Amen. Well, could we pray first? Okay, I just got the word. Yeah. And so we'll do that in a minute. You all put your mask on for just a minute, would you please? Look, let's just make an extra effort today. I mean, this is probably one of the most serious messages that God has brought us in this house for a long time. Very serious and very good. I haven't heard any of the prophets or anyone. I don't have to go after them. We have the Holy Spirit. Let him talk to us. I'm just going to ask you, just spread out the aisle a minute. Just some of you can come down here, but social distance. Just stay away from each other. Would you just step out in the aisle somewhere? Just make an effort to do something different for God. Yeah, just step up here, kids. A little ways, just come up there. We can spread out. We got plenty of room. Glory to God. Come on. Just ask him, "Father, protect us." Protect us, Lord. Protect this house. Protect this church. God, I know the trolls are watching and they're listening. Hallelujah. Brother Tim.
Holy Spirit, pray.
We're going to say goodbye to all of you on Facebook. The Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name.